is always for all interim ministers and other transitional ministers, like the developmental minister you will be getting, the need to do all of the pastoral work and the other usual ministry work, preaching, visiting, and so on. So to symbolize that set of activities, I pack my stole. And then this is the packing list for the developmental tasks. So the first task is claiming and honoring the past of the congregation and healing its griefs and conflicts. So. Yeah, and there aren't many tissues left. The next task, illuminating the congregation's unique identity, its strengths, its needs, and its challenges. And I see that that item stayed in my office, but it is a mirror, which I have sometimes used, literally holding it up to you, which is part of what the interim work requires. The third is clarifying the multiple dimensions of leadership, both ordained and lay, and navigating the shifts in leadership that accompany times of transition. And to symbolize that interim task, I pack up my compass. Navigation. Two more. Renewing connections with available resources within and beyond the UUA. So I pack up the Janus workbook that was produced by the UUA. I think I'm going to run out of space here. And the Basics for Transitional Ministry, which is an interfaith effort. I won't pack that right now. And another book that's useful for our denomination and many others, the book Church Works, just to represent some of the works that we use and the resources that we use. And finally, enabling the congregation to renew its vision, strengthen its stewardship, prepare for new professional leadership, and engage its future with anticipation and zest. If it were a telescope, you see the past. This is the immediate future. So in addition to packing up the symbolic items, as many of you know, as you've seen me walking out of the office with bags in both arms, and I still feel it in my back somewhat, during the past few weeks, to make it less onerous, doing it a little at a time, I've been packing up all the books and files that I've kept in the minister's office. So today is my last service as your interim minister. And I've got almost all the books and files packed up and lying around at home, waiting for me to go through them. Of course, whenever you pack up to move, you find a few items that you feel you can perhaps part with. Things that you can part with to lessen your load. So for today's final sermon, I'm holding a metaphorical moving sale. I'm selling a few odds and ends, items in the form of ideas, suggestions, and leftover projects for your future that I leave with you. These items are a real bargain. The only cost is a bit of your time and energy to make them real. I have very much enjoyed serving as your interim minister over these past 2 years. Although this congregation felt a bit anxious and even, I would say, a little depressed when I arrived, I still saw a lot of vitality here. I saw many dedicated, hardworking volunteers keeping this place going. And many of you kept right on working throughout this interim time. And new people also came and stepped up right away to volunteer. Together, we have worked to turn around some things that seemed somewhat stuck, most notably finances and the attitude of scarcity around money. There was a pervasive fear that the congregation was stuck in deficit spending, which it had been doing for years, and that at the rate you had been going, the endowment would be spent down in just a few years. But with diligent financial planning, some budget cuts, new members making new pledges, and with energetic fundraising with very positive results, that process has essentially turned around, and the financial anxiety has been significantly reduced. My only advice here is to keep moving in that very positive direction. As you know, I've worked with various committees here to help improve and expand their functioning when possible. And the committees have all been very open and receptive. Since I spoke about the things we have accomplished together from this pulpit just a month ago and in my annual report, I won't reiterate them here. I just want to sum up by saying that it has all felt worthwhile, and your participation has been most gratifying. From this point on, I believe that the main road to improvement comes down to the issue of sharing this really good thing that you have here with other people in this community, other people who may not even know that you exist. When more people discover Unitarian Universalism and begin attending, there is more vitality. There are new ideas, often more kids to help sustain a vigorous religious education program, more resources to accomplish the many things that you dream about. It's not that we need to evangelize to convert the world to our way of thinking. It's that there really are folks out there who would love to find a religious community like this one in which they can decide for themselves what they believe, but do so in a supportive environment. I've often heard newcomers to Unitarian Universalism exclaim with a certain amount of consternation, "Where the heck have you been all my life?" They just had no idea we existed, where we tend to be too much of a secret in the world at large. To serve these people, you need to reach out and find them, and they, in turn, will bring much new energy to you. I'm happy to say there is a new task force on marketing headed by Kat Brayman. I saw you. There you are. Yeah. Hey, Kat. And this group has been given a grant by the board to use on advertising and other items. And there are also cost-free ways to let people know you exist. For instance, you can get free publicity by writing a press release for special events, such as the fact that you're getting a new minister, one who will be doing a new kind of transitional ministry here. You already have a very good new website put in place by Valerie Taylor and Julie Prentice. Yay. And a website, of course, is a modern route that many people now take to Unitarian Universalism. But they have to know something about what they're looking for, or they have to somehow stumble onto it while surfing. Still, a very good website is very, very important. People often say on their visitor forms when they come here that they found us just that way. The single most effective thing I think you can all do to promote this congregation is to bring a friend here. Statistics show over and over again that Most people came to a Unitarian Universalist congregation at the invitation of a friend or relative. You could have some Bring a Friend Sundays each year with a sermon topic geared to newcomers. Your beautiful building on this site is a great asset. Fortunately, there is now a building committee that does things like fix the kitchen doors, and that's headed by Diane Estrada and Jim Harrison. Yay again. And that group is working hard to keep the building in repair. But as nice as this little building on a hill is, you may find with a new young minister that you are beginning to grow to capacity in the sanctuary and in the religious education spaces. You can maximize the use of the building by going to two Sunday services. It's been done in the past year, and it can be done again if needed. I offer one observation. Someone asked me to just be sure and mention this, and I mentioned it 15 years ago when I was last year interim here, that coffee hour, as it happens here, especially in inclement weather, when it happens entirely in the fireside room, coffee hour is not as conducive to the important after-service socializing as it is in many other congregations, where there is a large social hall, and getting to it doesn't require a trip down a narrow hallway. I have here a long-range plan that Dick Park gave me at the beginning of my time here, but I remember it from the time I was here before. And there are a lot of good ideas still in here that haven't been implemented. We worked on some things when I was here as your interim last time, and you certainly need a new long-range plan, which you can work out with your new minister. But one of the things that is suggested here is widening the foyer and the hallway, so you don't have to scooch past each other on your way to coffee hour. I do see people kind of drifting out the door, people who don't know that you have to go down the hallway and around and find coffee hour. Another thing you can do is escort newcomers to coffee hour and then stay and introduce them to people so that they can become part of conversations that are ongoing. In the last couple of years, I have briefly alluded to your past history with ministers, a history that, at least in recent years, may have impeded your growth and health, and in fact probably led to the slide in membership that you have experienced in the last decade and a half. This past week, I actually dug around in my files and came across a sermon I gave here in February of 2004, when I was last here, and the sermon contained a synopsis of your whole history with ministers to that date. I'm going to quote myself here. So here's what I wrote. Here's a perspective on your past relationships with settled ministers, not interims. In the early days, you had two consecutive long-term ministers, both of whom were beloved by many. Then you had a minister who left when his theological outlook changed to become Christian. Then there were two who left under difficult circumstances through what's called negotiated resignations. These last three men are no longer in UU ministry. Still true. The congregation has called to its ministry some women who were called, all of these women, in an atypical way. One was the administrator, who was ordained by the congregation. She later made an honest woman of herself and went to seminary and then became an ordained fellowship minister. But she started out here, just having been ordained by the congregation. One was a seminary graduate who had been serving as your director of religious education. And she came and started becoming the settled minister, but she died not long after she became the minister. And the one you just chose, now remember this is me writing back in 2004, The one you just chose is a member of the congregation. Highly unusual. The most recent minister who served before you, before I arrived, and again, this is in 2004, was acquired through a full, by-the-book, challenging two-year search. And there were hopes for a long ministry with her. And then she left abruptly after 2 years of service to pursue a personal relationship far away. Understandable, but difficult for you. This last minister left some grief and anger in her wake and some fear, especially in light of some of the past ministries. A fear that I've heard some of you express, again writing in 2004, that your relationship with ministers is somehow jinxed. You got it. I would, and this is again what I said then, I would definitely not say that it is jinxed, or that the congregation is responsible for the various mishaps and mismatches. But it is a curious and unusual history. So that is what I wrote 14 years ago. And in the intervening years, I am sorry to say, your luck with the next two settled ministers remained challenging, especially with the one who came right after my interim year, my last interim year. Despite these two additional experiences with ministers, I still stubbornly say that this is not a jinxed situation. I assure you, you're not jinxed. I truly believe that. You have worked very well and productively with me, and I know with other interim ministers you have had. Well, so, does this mean that this congregation works well with short-timers but not long-time settled ministers? I don't think that is it. I really don't. I think you truly have the potential to work quite well and for a long time with a minister who is well-matched with you. In the immediate future, you will be working with another transitional minister, a developmental minister, but this one can stay longer, up to 5 years. And he will work with you on specific goals that you have identified. I think the prospect for a good and positive working relationship is excellent. I base that on your very good work with me over the last 2 years. Now, on this last Sunday among you, I want to take a quick look into the future. Got equipment for this. This was given to me at a going away dinner with the board, and I thought it was appropriate. They said they were giving me, or they wanted to give me the universe, but this is what they could do. It's like a little after the Big Bang. So I'm using it today as a crystal ball to look into your future. So gazing just beneath the surface, I foresee in the next couple of years a congregation of over 200 with 60-plus kids enrolled in religious education. I see that. How do I see that? Does it sound impossible? Well, actually, these numbers are what I encountered here in 2003 when I first came. So it's very possible. It's very doable. You did have around 200 members and 60 kids back then. I believe you can get back to that level. Now, looking a little bit deeper, I foresee even more for you. I foresee a congregation of around 300 members and maybe 100 kids with a full-time minister and a full-time DRE and other paid positions to serve this congregation. For example, an administrative assistant, a youth minister, a membership coordinator. The fact is, you actually had all of these positions when I arrived, although they were all just one-quarter time. But with only about 124 members when I got here, and some of those members having lapsed into inactivity with no pledge, it was hard to sustain all of this. As you add members and eventually more than double your membership, which I see happening, you can add back these and perhaps many other paid positions. And you will also have many more volunteers to sustain and enhance your activities and committee work. I have to say, I would just love to be a fly on the wall, watching with delight as you go through these changes. But not only can I not be a fly on the wall, I can't be a fly flitting around here in any sense. I have to leave, and I must leave quite completely. It's time to say my final goodbye to you. The hardest challenge of interim ministry is that an interim must say goodbye so soon after saying hello. When you say hello as a settled minister, you look out over the sea of faces in your first few sermons, and you realize that you have years and years to become acquainted, to become part of each other's lives. But as an interim, I've had to get to know you more quickly and to keep constantly in my mind the fact that I will only be among you for a short time. Yet in my interim positions, I have still felt the deep connections ministers make with those they serve. And I guess ultimately it can't be otherwise if one is to be a true minister. In whatever time you have, if you bring your heart and soul into your ministry, you are going to form those deep connections. But then, more often than do settled ministers, you have to sever those connections. You have to make way for a new minister. Following the guidelines that we Unitarian Universalist ministers agree to uphold, I can no longer be your minister in any sense. And following protocol, my future connections with you, especially for the next year or so, must be very limited. But I'd like you to know that when I brought my ministerial heart and soul into this temporary ministry, I nevertheless filled them up with all of you, with all our committee work together and teaching classes and in Sunday services and during social events, in the many one-to-one sessions and conversations we've had. And as I finally head out into the unknown territory of retirement, I know I will carry many fond memories of working and of playing with you. Thank you for all that you have been and done. You will remain in my heart and in my memory.